we I stand
in awe of you. I stand in awe of you.
Holy God, to
whom all praise is due, I stand.
Bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, we come in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We want you exalted and lifted up in our hearts, glorified, and that we might somehow express our thanksgiving, our gratefulness, and back to you for all that you are, all that you do, all that you have for us. Father, we could never, ever exhaust what's in our hearts, what you put there. We have all eternity to praise you, to exalt you, to lift you up. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Your love, your grace, your mercy. Most of all, in this day, your light that brings your life into us. Doing what you said you wanted to do from the beginning, make us one again. So that there's no difference, Father. What a wonderful thing that you can do this, that you want to do this. That you know exactly our state for every one of us, where we're at. But you in your mercy, you in your grace, reach down and lift us up. You pull us. You work, Father, in little tiny ways every single day, every minute. I'm here. Let me help. Here's a decision. Here's a need. I'm here for you. We love you so much, Lord. Now this morning, take us higher, would you please? We give you thanksgiving because you're there to do it, and we know it. So, Father, we commit ourselves into your hands as we come to worship under the blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus, even now, with this promise you would meet us. We believe that, and we stand here. And even with boldness, say, I can come into your presence now. Grant it, Father, we ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. hola, mi hermana. hermano Juan no aquí. But could you perhaps help her, Derek? Derek, the wonderful bilingualist. Yeah. God bless you all. Yesterday there was a concert, Let the Children Praise, and Lilia, I think Levi, did specials, right? And Zoe was there. And we just want to say thank you for taking a stand for the Lord. Shining for him in this dark hour. What a wonderful thing. So, have you ever noticed? Brother Branham says we're living between two worlds. Remember him saying that? Have you ever noticed where people living in between two dimensions are fidgety? They're not comfortable. They're not easy, correct? So if you're hanging in between two, now, come on, let's just look at the prophet. What was his makeup? He talks about himself, I'm restless winds, right? Remember him talking about that? He says, I'm restless winds, and look at the condition of his stomach. Was he at ease? Living between two worlds. So here we are, and we're in this suspension, sort of hanging in between these dimensions, and it just makes us on edge. It makes us uncomfortable. It makes us, can even affect us physically, as it did the prophet. I can't imagine what it was like for Moses and Elijah and all the rest of them. Well, come on, you guys, look at Elijah. The power of God on him so miraculously, calling down fire out of heaven, and said, let the God that answers by fire be God, and he goes and runs in the cave, hides. And he says, just take me, I don't even want to live. Yeah? See, so take heart, you guys. We're in good company, so if we're not comfortable down here, there's reasons for it. Yeah, that's a good thing. And I'm glad that we aren't comfortable down here. So, back into the book of Hebrews. And I have the, any of you have electronic devices, the notes are there for you if you'd like to see them. my title is from the last part of the chapter that we didn't get to last week, so we're going to spend our time there. Take what and go where? I think it's there are certain things in the scripture that captivate us, but the reason is that they shock us. I didn't know I was to take anything and go anywhere. I think one of the most shocking things, which I think we'll get into next week, is from the message that God's only provided a place of worship, where he says, now we have to take our sacrifice somewhere. You have to, where do you take? I have Jesus as our Savior. We're all saved. Now we got to, come on. When you read that, did that send shockwaves through your being? My goodness, it sure did me. I have to take Jesus somewhere? And then he goes further into that message and he says, you have to take him because there's only one place your sacrifice will be accepted. Well, I have to deal with that. And we as believers, we have to take these things that he said. We can't brush them off anymore. We used to just brush them off and go on our merry way and say, somehow there's some a reason why God is expressing these things through the vocal cords of his prophet. And if we don't deal with them, we will later. And we might be very disappointed if we don't. Well, we'll get into that next week, but, you know, I'm always in shock also in the first seal where Brother Branham talks about the wise and foolish virgin, and he says, well, they think they're under their blood and they're not. Well, can you imagine anything worse, anything more horrifying, anything more terrifying that I thought I was under the blood all these years and I'm not? I can't deal with it. It terrifies me. And we have to make sure where we are, and we know scripturally where we are. And we have to know that we know what is truth, what has been proven, what has been vindicated, what God says, not what we think, but what he thinks. So there's all of these things. So here again is along with that, I didn't know I had to take anything anywhere. I didn't know I had to take a sacrifice somewhere. I didn't know, but the types are there in the Bible all over the place, and we'll get in. I wanted to get farther, but I'm finishing up. But just if you look at just Abraham, okay? And first thing he tells him, the very first thing, get out of your country. And you know, we've gone over this so many times, he had to leave everything that was comfortable. He had to leave his safety zone. He had to leave everything that he knew. And where did he say, I'm going to take you over to your new house? He says, no, you're going to go, you're going to leave, and I'm not even going to show you right now where you're going to go. So I look at that, and I say, oh, my goodness, that's us. Prompting to the Spirit of God, bringing us into this dimension, into this message. And did we have any idea where we were going, Russ? But there was something pulling you, and something was pulling Abraham that he couldn't resist. Something's pulling us, but did he tell us where we were going? Didn't have a clue. All we had to do is we had to leave where I was, and I have to go to where he's leading me, and that's simply it. But, you know, you look at Abraham, even in the book of Hebrews, he spent his whole life looking for something that could not be here on earth at that time. But in his soul, it was as real as anything. That city whose builder and maker, I know that's there. I'm called to it. I'm looking for it. And he knew it wasn't time for that to be scripturally. But look at what it occupied his whole life. So something you feel in your soul, something that you feel inside of you, pulling you somewhere towards something, even though it's not visible in front of you, but you know it's there. Now that's the walk of Abraham. And that's where we are. Does that make sense? So all of these things, don't brush aside things that are brought to us by a vindicated voice in this day. Don't push them aside. I don't understand it. Well, you know, Brother Alistair, but we all take the same position. I don't understand it, but I believe it. And I know Brother Vail used to do this. You watch your attitude towards God. If you have the right attitude, he'll bring you even though you don't understand. If you don't have the right attitude, oh, he was wrong, I don't believe it, you'll never get it. But if you say, I don't understand that, but I do believe it, and I know God will show me someplace, and I know I've waited 25 years for answers, and finally there he is one day, but you wait patiently, and you're not going to twist his arm and say, I want an answer right now. It's in his hand. He knows when to give it to us, and that's all out of his love. He knows when we can take it. Maybe we couldn't have taken it 25 years ago, maybe, but he knows exactly what we need. So we trust him for all of those things, right? Okay, back to Hebrews 6. Take what? Go where? We have taken note in the sixth chapter of Hebrews that begins with the phrase, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. That's us. That's where we're at. To completion. And we've taken this, let us go on to that finished work of redemption. Because that's where we are. That's what completion is. Perfection is completion. Let us take that sealed book of redemption and partake of what the Lord opened to us. Ultimately, let us go back to Adam's position and condition that he had before the fall. So that's what lies before us. So the precept of leaving something or someplace to gain something far superior is not necessarily new, right? But there are other things the Lord presents to his seed gene about taking something he has given them and taking it to some other place may seem quite shocking. Now, that's what I was referring to, take your sacrifice somewhere. Take my faith in Jesus somewhere. Shocking in the sense that we weren't even aware we needed to take anything anywhere. That's me. Is that the truth? I mean, did you realize I needed to do something, take it somewhere? So now with this thought, we're going to approach our text. If we go to Hebrews 6, and let's go to verse 11. And we'll go to the end of the chapter. Would you stand with me and let's read. Okay. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham and to us today, because he couldn't swear by anything greater than him, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you. Isn't that nice? You love that? Multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them the end of all strife. Okay, the judge spoke. That's the end. He's the top authority. So wherein God willing more abundantly to show you, that's God, wants to show you. God wants to show each one of you. This is God speaking to you, okay? God wants to show you the heirs of the promise. Let's go back to Adam. The immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and entereth into that. We'll break that down later. Entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever. That means he's still high priest. After the order of Melchizedek, God in Morpha. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, keep your Bibles open. And we're going to go. I like your bow tie there, but. Derek, you should have your bolo on.
Wrong shirt.
Oh, wrong shirt. Okay. Thank you for singing for us, Yunema. And Nate, thank you for your special. Those were nice. I get up here and I forgot to thank you. Forget all the time to thank people for their specials, but I get focused here in the Word and forget all about it. But I appreciate them so much, all of you. You did a solo yesterday, I heard, huh? What did you play? A what? Oh, that's what I think too. What is that? Oh, neat. Beautiful, I bet, right? And Isaac sang a special? No, not Isaac. Levi. What did he sing? Oh, neat. And Zoe sang? That was neat. Okay, verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance and hope unto the end. Okay, now, same diligence. What's he talking about? Show the same diligence as what? What's he talking about? We have a Christian walk. Then there are so many aspects to our Christian walk. You stop and think about, there's your prayer life. Okay? There's your Bible study. There's your relationships to your brothers and sisters. There's your relationship as a father, as a mother, as a daughter, as a son, or anything like that. There's relationships to each other, and we all get tied up in what is a Christian. And there are sermons all years long on the Christian life, right? Okay, but what he's saying, you get all tied up in all these, and that's good, and because he says before that, God's not going to be unfaithful to forget your works of love, your labor of love for each other. That pleases him. But he says, don't be captivated by this. That same diligence you have for Christ in all of your life, show the same to this. So he's taking us to a place. He says, your Christian life is vast, lots of parts to it. But don't forget this part. In fact, he says, show the same diligence to this part. Okay. Let me read just a couple of things from my notes. Our faith and trust in God, which we are told to leave behind to progress into further revelation, but all the things that come to our mind in our walk, our witness, our fellowship with other believers, our being an example to those around us, none of these can overshadow in importance of focus that which is now presented to you. That's what he's telling the people. What is where you're at now, Hebrews, Paul writing to them, all of these things now show that same diligence to this part. Let's go on to perfection. Now, Weiss takes each word and develops it into full meaning in the following, but we are strongly desirous that each of you exhibit. Isn't that an interesting word? Okay, Lenore, English lady. What does exhibit mean? Yeah, not just talk about it, not just think about it, not just pray about it. I want you to show in your life, Ron, that this is the most important thing. Show that same diligence towards this. Okay? The same diligence. Notice here in what he says in the Weiss, this diligence, this attitude towards it will develop your hope into full assurance. Do you hear what he said? What this little thing in your heart, bringing this to the forefront, bringing this to something to focus on, is the thing that's going to change something in you about a promise of God that's going to change it from hope into full assurance. You with me? There's a difference there. Okay, so there's something in each of us that the Holy Spirit works on to bring a change from something coming to birth, and that's where we're all at. Something inside of us is coming to birth, to being birthed. That makes sense? That's where we're at. So there's something inside us also that something inside of us is developing. We're all there. But he says, no, I want you to go from a developing state to a developed state. So would Brother Branham tell us about Adam and redemption being bought to go back to Adam's position, and he was ruler over this world and God of this world? Would he tell you that, Ron, if you couldn't do it? So let's do it. That's what Paul's saying. Okay. Brother Branham talks about our faith and revelation. And he says that all and every one of us begins with a mental faith. But the Holy Spirit takes that mental faith in his gene seed. That's what he does. That's his work. And changes that into a spiritual revelation. It's a process. Everything is a process, right? And we have the encouragement to know that the processor is here now processing, right? Okay. Now, this is similar to the sower. So this is what came to my heart right in this. I went right to Matthew chapter 13. And I thought, aha, look at this. God sows his word into many receptors and many conditions. That's the parable of the sower, right? Okay. But it is a, excuse me. It's a prepared ground. What is prepared ground? A soul that can receive. What is that? Something elect, something he decided. Somebody has something that they can't receive. Others have something that they can receive. Okay? Prepared ground. So, going through that parable now, prepared ground, predestinated ground is the one that receives the seed. Now listen to what he goes through. Why does Jesus spend so much time on this parable? That prepared ground is not affected by one's, look at all the things. Now these are things that he lays out in Matthew 13. Is not affected by my lack of understanding. I believe it anyhow. Or other people would take that, well, how could I believe in something I understand? So they just don't. See the difference? I believe in something I don't understand. Other people will say, I'm not going to believe in something I don't understand. Forget it. What makes the difference in those two people? God. Okay. That's one. That's how he starts out the parable of the sower. Or the seed has no place in them to take root. Okay, now here is the person in his own mind looking at the Word of God and says, you know, I just can't find enough meaning in this to allow it to change my life. So it never takes really root and grows. Does that sound right to that person? Next example that Jesus uses, he says, or is offended by tribulation and persecution. Now, look at this. The human spirit can find many reasons in the people around them for being offended. God puts you in an assembly. God puts you in a church. Oh, this person offended me. Oh, the pastor said this thing that offended me. Hey, it's endless, right? How many things can offend us, right? But here's another thing. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Some people come, the word can't produce because they're offended at everything. Isn't that sort of scary? Yeah. Okay, so the word there cannot produce what it was sown to produce, to harvest. Okay, next thing, persecution. Stop and think about this, you guys. The message isn't very popular, is it? You're weird. You're an oddball. You're fanatics. You follow a man. They don't even use the term holy roller anymore, do they? I don't ever hear that. Oh, yeah. Well, I can't tell you how many times I've been called devil worshiper and everything else, you know, people I've witnessed to. Got to have thick hide for this, don't you? Yeah. But listen to this. We don't like to stand on a word that brings persecution to us. That's the human element. But that's not the soul. Okay? How can, you know, here's the human mind. Well, I don't want to, hey, let's be a good old Baptist. No offense. Or a Lutheran. No offense. Who's offended in a Lutheran? Right? Or a Baptist, Catholic, whatever. But you take a strong stand on the word, pretty soon it brings persecution. Well, who wants to stand for a word like that? Well, these are things Jesus says stop the word from bringing forth. So look at the last one he uses is cares of the world. You know, well, in Luke 14 and Matthew 20, I believe, here's the parable of the feast. Well, I can't come to the feast. Why? Well, I got a business. I bought me a cow. I married me a wife. I did this. I did that. So I have to attend. And he says the deceitful, or it's deceitful riches. Now, all of those are in Matthew chapter 13, and all of those are examples why Jesus says the word can't come forth. So the word sown in prepared grounds brings exactly the purpose for which it was sown. Think of that. In other words, there are no excuses or there's no reasons in the mind where I can't let this word bring forth. That's the bride. And even though Satan would come and use your mind to bring offenses and stop the word from growing, there's something in your soul that rises up above your head and your thinking that says, no, the word is true. The word is in me. It's going to bring forth, and I'm not going to allow anything in there to hinder it. That's a work of the Lord, isn't it? Okay. So with this, excuse me, back to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. The translation here doesn't alter the meaning of what the Lord is trying to say to us, that our hope needs to become full assurance. It is this full assurance that pleases the Lord. It is this full assurance that the men of and women of Hebrews 11 obtained a good report. Now the question is, is this the same journey of faith that the Lord took on Abel? I have to rise. Okay, let me just say this. What is the Lord doing? In Matthew chapter 13, in that parable of the sower, there's anything in the natural human mind that can come up with a million reasons. I can't take the word. I can't believe the word. I can't allow it to bring forth its fruit. I'm offended. It's hard. It's persecution. I don't have any root. It doesn't mean enough to me to take root inside of my heart. All of these things, he says, are happening. So here is an example of what Paul is saying, or what we're talking about. The Lord has to rise us, take us away from the effects of the human element, and bring us into that supernatural place with him where his word will be materialized absolutely. Does that make sense? Okay. So you look at the parable of the sower, what is it? It's the human element. So what is the thing that we have to leave and go to? We have to leave the human element. That's another example of what we're talking about today. Making sense? Rise above the human element and go into the place where the word will be materialized in us. This is one of those leaving and taking us somewhere thoughts. Okay. Verse 12. Ready? Okay, that you be not slothful, sluggish, but followers. I'm using these other words because they're in other translations. Sluggish is another translation. Be not slothful or sluggish. Be followers. Another one says imitators. Of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, we all have the bondwoman in us that we have to kick out all the time, right? And what did he say the bondwoman was? That religious part. And when I hear imitators and followers, I can feel the religious part of me rise up and say, I'm not a follower of man. When somebody looks at you and says, you message people are a follower of man, what is the first thing you do? No, I'm not. What does the Bible say? Be followers of men. Even Paul, didn't Paul say, excuse me, I got this tickled. Didn't Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ? Did he say that? Was he a prophet? Was he a church age messenger? But for some reason, when some says you're following a man, oh, no, I'm not. Oh, how defensive we get. What inside of us is getting defensive? Is that religious spirit rising up and saying, I'm not? No, 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 no. Don't you accuse me of that. No. Huh? Oh, yeah, they have. They love the men they follow. Joel Osteen. I'm saying that because I got cousins that love him. You know, Dr. Jeremiah. Oh yeah, well I'll follow him. But we follow him because we like him because he fits with my thinking, right? Isn't this interesting to see the mind games that Satan can have us playing, and we don't even realize it? You have to have secure foundation in the scripture, to know where you're standing and why you're standing there, and to know that it is scriptural and not be shamed. Right? Okay. So, where's the scriptural part? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, because it's all there. All right. Verses 1 to 13. Moreover, brethren, I wouldn't have you ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. We're all back. Look at this. Okay. PJ explained this. They were baptized into Moses. You're baptized into William Branham. Oh, no, I'm not. Isn't that interesting? All the years I've read that, it never struck me until last night. They were baptized unto Moses. What does the word baptized mean? Immersed. They were immersed into Moses. They didn't get wet, but they were still immersed into him. Now, here's the big question. Ron, was that a bad thing? Is God, when he's writing this in 1 Corinthians, is he saying they were baptized into Moses? Is that a bad thing? No. Oh, boy. Bring this back to people. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. They all drank of the same spiritual drink. They drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So if they were baptized unto Moses, then they were baptized, then they drank of the spiritual rock. Is there a connection there? Is that a bad connection? Huh? Okay, verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, neither be idolaters, as some of them were written. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in the day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Why did they tempt Christ? Their flesh had the rule. I'm sick of manna. I want quails, right? The flesh ruled. Okay. That's what we were talking about, being delivered of the human element so that the word could bring forth what it wants. Okay, well, we'll go on. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured. We got any murmurers here? Yup. Lord help us, right? Amen. As some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen for examples, are written for admonition on whom the ends of the world has come. Wherefore, let them think that he stand, and take heed lest he fall. There's no temptation which has taken you, but is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will be the temptation, with the temptation, make a way of escape. We all have flesh. It's all going to tempt us. We all have a brain. It's going to bother us. It's all going to say, oh, look at my aches and my pains. Look at how cold it is. I can't go to church. I can't do this. I can't do that. And say all kinds of hindrances in front of you. So what we're doing here by going through these verses saying it's scriptural for us to learn by the examples of lives of others. And when you think about this, I want you to look at the reality of love again of what God did for you, okay? He had to create a Dathan and a Korah. He had to have people that were governed totally by their flesh. And they had to grumble. They had to say, I'm sick of this manna. They had to murmur. They had to be destroyed so you could learn today. Now, that doesn't sound like very fair to them, does it? But that's what he's saying in this chapter. Those are all examples on us whom the end of the ages has come. That's for us today. They had to go through that. They had to go through the things they went through for you. Now, that should humble us down before the throne of God and say, oh my, who am I? That these people had to go through these things and endure these things, and they had to do it so that I might learn, that I can learn from that example and be different, not be caught in the same traps they were caught in, not let the human element, not let the flesh consume me. I have to rise above it. You see these things? They're all there. Okay. So it's example. However, something is right inside of your soul that takes you to the right person to be an example. I never have gone to Dathan to be an example, or Korah, or never have gone to those grumbling people who says, I can't go over. I can't cross over Jordan. I'm a grasshopper. Something inside of you won't let you identify with those. Something inside of you says, I want you to identify with Joshua. Something inside of you says, no, I'm going to identify with Caleb, right? What is that? That's God in you, directing your thoughts and taking you on a journey that you aren't even aware of at the time. Why did he do that? Why did he have me associate in my heart and in my mind and in my soul with this man and that not? So God's men and women were given something to take them into that seventh dimension, which was God's word. Joshua, Caleb, where did they go? They had to leave this dimension. They had to deny everything this dimension told them. This is what we kept going back to. Kingdom men, kingdom women, with kingdom hearts. What are these? These men that said, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to be governed by what this realm, this dimension. What is it? Light, matter, and time? Isn't that what it's called? This dimension. I'm not going to be governed by it. So here are these people, Enoch, Abraham, Joshua, Caleb, who refused to be governed by the messages of doubt and fear that this dimension so readily gives us. Here we are, raising our hope to full assurance. Now here's another one, another example of leave and be taken somewhere. I have to leave the human element and go to the Word of God. I have to leave the lies that this dimension tells me, because this dimension is speaking to me every single day. Is it not? And it's the things that he says are, you can't do it. You won't make it. Okay. Two things. Leaving the dimension of the human element, leaving the dimension, the lies of this physical dimension here. Verse 13, we'll go on. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee and multiply, and I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Excuse me. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them the end of all strife. Now, here we are again, where we were last week, where we've been taking the charge. Now, that's the only way you can say that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, was charging those Hebrews. It wasn't necessarily a commandment. He said, let us, okay? Let us leave. Let us go on. So he's charging them. He's giving them, say, hey, let's do this thing. And something inside of your soul say, I take that from the Holy Spirit, I will. Does that make sense? You with me? Okay. taking the charge of the Holy Spirit, believing that Paul was an instrument of the Holy Spirit, are believing that God said to us, here, Josh, go on to completeness. David, go on to be a complete work of redemption. You with me? Jesse, go on to the promise set before us at this end time. Take the book that's unsealed, eat it, partake of it, partake of it fully and become God's in complete control of this earth. There you go. That's for us. So again, Paul is likening us to Abraham, okay, here. Why Abraham? Because he was the beginning of God's work, working to bring a people back to what he designed them to be. Okay? So Father Abraham, Abraham the father of our faith, always him. So Abraham patiently endured. He endured 25 years of testing. Okay? He endured watching and feeling his body age. Yeah. Lenore's laughing. Aren't we? Us older folks. Yeah. We can feel it. We can watch it, right? Okay. What if God says, just endure that? Don't let that control you. That's a big challenge to us, isn't it? Yeah. Don't let that control you. He endured watching and feeling his body age and become as good as dead. That's quite a journey. It's a journey of doubt. If you pay attention to the flesh, you say, it's not happening. No way it can happen. Are you going to say that about you becoming God of this earth? Huh? We can't. We're at a place where we have to say, God is moving me from being controlled by this flesh and what my flesh is constantly sending messages to my brain, right? And say, the word of God is true and I'm giving all a diligence to what I have to go on to be completed. Where are each one of us? Each one of us is standing in a position. And God is saying to us, you can't put anything before this thing. Give all your diligence. Make sure that this is in your life, in this place in your life, where this is the most important thing. Because, Nate, look at Romans 8. The whole world is groaning and travailing in pain, waiting for you. True? This whole is groaning. Ron, you can't stand there. You have to be in control of this earth. They're groaning. Think of that. All of creation. Now, I thought what Brother Abraham, no, excuse me, Brother Alistair said, he says, do you know that unless you take your place, the saints will judge the earth? And who is it by the mind of God and the Spirit of God and the character of God inside of you, David? Hey, David, let me ask you a question. Would you ever condemn somebody? You couldn't do it, could you? Josh, why would you think God would want you by his side judging the world? There are people where God will grant mercy, honestly, wherever he can grant mercy. Do you believe that? Do you think it's in him to, I'm delighting in condemning people? Isn't it his will that none should perish? So he's going to have people alongside him that have come to that position that he's longed for them to come. I want you to rule with me. I want you to reign with me. I want you to sit by my side, ruling and judging this earth. Now, that's quite a responsibility, but that's what he's saying. Here are we. Here we are in this place. If I listen to my flesh continually, I'll never get there. If I'm governed by this dimension, I will never get there. Something has to take me above that into the Word of God said, I not only can, but I will. Because it's not me that's doing it. It is God's work. It's God's will. It's God's design. And his DNA is inside of me to bring me there. Are you with me? Okay, here's where we're at. All right. Our God is so wonderful. When God made promise to Abraham and us, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. Abraham knew the gift of God in him, and we know the same. PJ, you got the gift of God in you. You can't deny that, can you? It's part of you. It's who you are. That God who spoke to him and promised him that he would bring forth a promised son was over all. That's what he's saying here in these verses. When he could swear by no greater, he wanted to give Abraham the assurance, I'm here with you and in you to do it. Let me say it again. God wanted to make sure to the promise holder, I'm here and there's no greater authority than me. Okay? I am over all. There's nothing. Listen to this. There was no greater power and no higher authority that could come behind that voice. Okay? That could come behind the voice of God and what God told him and say, well, really, Jesse, you know you're not worthy of this. You know, I mean, really, just take a good look at yourself. Now, Nate, just come on, come to your senses. This is foolishness. No, there's no voice above that voice that can say that to you and cause you to believe it. Because, no, the ultimate authority, the ultimate power has spoken, and there's nothing higher than that. And he said, I'm taking you there. Are you with me? There is no higher authority. There is no higher power. There's no higher voice. So, Laura, you're going to be there. You're bringing forth the promised son. Pam, I'm going to do a miracle. Old body, doesn't make any difference. Right, wrong? No difference. So do you see where the thing where God is trying to get our attention and bring us out of places and into places and how we have to move out of the human element? We have to move out of the lies that this dimension is constantly telling us and move into that place where the Spirit of God and hear. That's the only voice we can afford to listen to. Fabio, does that make sense to you? There's no higher. There's voices all around you every single day screaming in your ear. Look at yourself. You can't. But God says, no. Daniel, you're a child of promise. You're going to bring forth a promised son. And I said it, and there's no higher authority to come behind me and say, no, I was just kidding. My authority is greater than God's authority. So this is what God was telling Abraham. This is what Paul is saying here. Look at the immutability of his counsel. Look at what God is trying to say to you. The judge spoke. And you know what? That's exactly what Brother Branham said in this day. The judge has spoken, and the judge said, I'm not going to impute your sin to you. And he's the highest authority. So Satan isn't higher than God. So Satan will come and say, no, get thee behind me. I'm not going to listen to you. I listen to God. The judge told me this. The judge told me I'm healed. The judge told me I'm bringing forth a promised son. Isn't that beautiful? All these verses are just coming to life in us. Okay. So, the gift of God in Abraham raised him above his senses. Okay? The gift of God inside of us raises us above our senses, because our senses will always deny the Word of God. Now, comparing us to Abraham, God is much more gracious to us at the end time than he was to Abraham, because he says it's critical that you get this. Anna, it's critical you get this. It's critical. It's critical that nothing can come between us and our inheriting the promise that we are becoming God of this earthly realm. All creation is groaning to see this materialize. The whole creation and man would be lost without us taking our place in this promise for this day. We must go on to perfection. So, God, think about what he did for us that he didn't do for Abraham, you guys. Stop and think about it. What did he do for us in this day that he didn't do for Abraham? We are so privileged. We are so spoiled. We're so honored. He did so much more, but, you know, he knew we needed it. We're living in a mental age. Abraham didn't live in a mental age, you know? To ensure our faith would stand secure, God promised an unveiling of himself for us in this day. Here is how you will know it is me speaking. Here is how you will know it is me who made this promise to you. He descended himself with his own message to us. He vindicated his presence. He proved it was him. And listen to this. He did impossible things to prove to us that this promise to you cannot be called impossible. You can, there's something. You can't say, I can't do it. You can't say it can't happen. Now, it is said of Abraham that he patiently endured and obtained the promise. This is our pattern, brothers and sisters. Here's what where our life is now. Okay, this is Abraham and this is you. This is our example. This is who we have to imitate. Imitators of those who patiently endured. Patient endurance is where we're at. Who likes the word patience? Who likes the word endurance? Yeah, none of us, okay? We don't like that one bit. We wouldn't choose it ourselves. It's not in our human element to like that, but what does it mean? What does endure mean? Lilia? It means to continue in the same state. Isn't that interesting? I looked that up in Merriam-Webster. To endure means to continue in the same state. So here's Abraham. God comes to him. He knows it's God. He's sure it's God. Abraham, leave. Leave everything. Well, for him to do that, he had to be very sure. You would not make that move unless you were absolutely positive, I heard from God, right? So he's a promise holder. So he goes and leaves, and he gets on to all kinds of trouble and drought and age and creaks and cranks and wrinkles and all kinds of problems, but it says he patiently endured. And what does here mean to endure? It means he kept the same state that he had when God appeared to him that first day. Now, that's what Romans 4 says. That's what Brother Branham says. His faith just got stronger. Now, we got a problem. And we have to fix that problem, because we will let things affect us and say, what I feel, what I think I feel, what I feel I think, what I feel I think. Is that true? can't let that affect this. Okay. It means to continue in the same state. It remains to endure, means to remain under suffering or misfortune without yielding. So my question is, who would choose that? By patient endurance? No man governed by his human spirit would. It has to be something natural, supernatural. It has to be God's design. God's design always works supernaturally. And supernaturally, our souls embrace it and say amen. There's the whole thing. Brother Branham did such a wonderful thing to liberate us, saying who the real you is. It's your soul, the eternal part. I can't be bound by the human spirit that drives me nuts. That's not part of God, permitted by him. Okay, verse 16 and 17. For men verily swear by greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them that end all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it. Now, we looked at that last week. He confirmed it by an oath. God wants to make sure you get this. God wants to make sure to you. Noah, he loves you. Seth, he wants to make sure you and Zoe get this, that he loves you, that nothing can stop what he promised you. Amen. Nothing. Nothing in this world, nothing in another dimension, nothing can stop it. So he said he confirmed it with an oath. Remember last week, Noah? What does confirm mean, Ron? Remember last week? He interposed himself. He comes himself in between the two parties, between you and the promise. He wants to make sure you get this. He wants to make sure I'm on your side. He wants to make sure I'm for you. He wants you to make sure, Fabio, nothing's going to stop this. Believe my promise no matter what. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. So, I gave you some examples last week, but we're going to hear. You don't have to turn here. Remember, God came to Abraham and Isaac on the plains of Mamre. Melchizedek, in the form of human flesh, God in Morphin, said, why is Sarah laughing? Sarah, I'm going to return to you the time of your life. Genesis 21, verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, The Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. I told you I was. I told you I gave a promise. I told you you're going to bring forth a son. He waits until her body is like Abraham's, impossible. Why does he wait till it's impossible, Russ? It has to be him. He's not going to allow you to be credit. Lenore, he's going to do the same to us. Yeah. That's a good thing to know. I like it. He's going to do the same thing to us. So the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Aren't those beautiful words? The Lord did as he said. Okay. He had spoken. The Lord visited Sarah. The Lord did unto Sarah. Okay, same thing with Mary. We read that last week. How shall this thing be was what is in Mary's heart. Her mind, her human element, her reasoning. Then the angel said, you know what? He says, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. He shall overshadow you. Yeah, it's him. Don't worry about it. You can't do it. He can. So here is one more thing that I've always loved. Would you turn in your Bibles there? Let's go to Genesis 28. It's one of my, you know, we go to this over and over and over, but this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Whenever you need encouragement, go back to Genesis 28, verse 15. Underline it. Take it home. Laura, put it on your blackboard this week. It's a good one for you. Huh? Oh, good. This is a good one. So here, God appeared to Abraham. God appeared to Isaac. Now it's Jacob's turn. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. 28:15. To Jacob. Let's read it together, okay? And I want you to put your name in there. Okay, and behold, I am with you, Peter, Seth, Zoe, Noah, Emma. Okay, God is saying, I am with you. Let's go on. And will keep thee in all places, knowing you're going to wander, whether you goest. But if you wander, what's he say? I will bring you again into the land. Look at this. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Isn't that precious? Put that on your board, David. Read it every single day when you get up this week. I'm not going to leave you, Ron, until I've done everything that I've spoken to you of. That's God in his love to you, Karen. I'm not going to leave you. I will perform that which I spoke to you of, and I'm not going to leave you till I do. That's God interposing himself, right? Okay. Back to the last three verses, we'll finish. Verse 18. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hopes set before us. Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Okay. First, two immutable things. God's word to us, two immutable things. What are they? He simply spoke. Pete, he gave you a promise. What more do you want? I want to make sure you know, Pete. So I'm going to interpose. I'm going to come into my promise to you personally. You with me? Okay, two immutable things. It was impossible that through these, Nate, you're going to have strong consolation. Nothing can make you doubt anymore. Right, Chair? Okay. Now, we who have fled for refuge. Here's the thing. We who have fled for refuge. I just got a promise of God. I went to the breach, and I heard things I had never heard before in my life. This is a book of redemption. I'm going to take you back. What am I taking you back to? Everything Adam lost, Josh. He lost his rulership. He lost his eternal life. He lost his position begotten. I'm taking you back to that. You are going to see this world? Drive down the street. Take a trip. Debbie, it's all yours. This is all yours. This is your domain. And he says, I'm bringing you back to rule over it. This is yours. This is your earth made for you. So all of a sudden you have a promise, and then he says, we have fled for refuge. What in the world? What does he say that? Now I'm going to ask you a question. This is Paul and him writing to these, the promise that he's telling promise keepers, the promise holders. I'm taking it to perfection. So here's a question. Who's ever done that? Pete, did you go somewhere with a promise that God gave you? Did I know I was supposed to go to a place? Why did I have to flee for refuge? Refuge from what? Huh? We who have fled for refuge. I got a promise. Now I got to go flee to... It says fled. Flee. Flee. What are we supposed to do? Here's where I want to get to. This is my whole point. Take what? Go where? How many things in our life that we haven't done that yet, but now it's time, we got to. We who have fled for refuge. Apparently, the promise holders did this. They went somewhere. So let's take this to today. We flee for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us of becoming God of this earth, like we were designed to be. The next phrase helps us know how or what, which hope we have as a what? Anchor to what? Of your soul. Both what? Sure and? So, okay. So this is something that takes place in my soul. In your soul, Nate, wherein is God? Christian, wherein is his word? Luke, and his revelation of his word is there. You have a soul that's a part of God, honey. Now, look at the next, which enters into that. That's sort of, enters into that. That what? Our soul enters into that hope. Nope. Our whole enters into that assurance. We've gone from hope to assurance. And goes somewhere with it. Our soul enters into that assurance that God has spoken, his word is true, there's no higher authority, there's no higher power. Our soul enters into that assurance, and goes somewhere. It enters into that assurance within the veil. What in the world is he talking about? Listen, he's talking about the temple, the veil. What is the veil? It's the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. Is that correct? Okay. Karen, what's in the holy place? What goes on in the holy place? The inner court. What's in there, Pete? There's priests doing work, isn't there? What are they doing? What is in that inner court that they are tending to, that they're working? Candles, showbread, right? So we can't go there. We have to go beyond there. So notice this. Men are in that holy place. Working men. Religious men, pastors before God, men performing their duties, frail men, fallen men that can alter and interpret and change the meaning of God's word to suit their liking. They can say, oh, what he really means was... But, oh, you know, that's really not for you. Ron, you think you're going to be God of this world? I mean, you guys really drank the Kool-Aid, didn't you, huh? That's what happens when you follow a man, Ron. Huh? Religious fanatic. Look at what this guy believes. Huh? Will they call you crazy, Pete, thinking these things? The world? Okay. So, Pete, what's in the most holy place? Charity? God. Think about that. What's in the most holy place, Christian? God and what? God and nothing else. Okay. Now, we know in the most holy place, Sure, we know that there's the Ark of the Covenant and there's those two cherubims with their arms spread out, reaching from wall to wall, right? Big cherubim. But all of these things are speaking of him. What speaks of him in the most holy place, Nate? They speak about his holiness, the cherubims. He's faithful. In other words, this is the covenant holder who can't be anything else than what he is, perfect in holiness. Okay, I can't wait. Exodus 15, they rejoice in God when they cross the Red Sea because he was perfect in holiness. Isn't that a beautiful thing? In other words, he can't change his mind. And he didn't change his mind. And I crossed the Red Sea, so here I am. I serve a God that's a faithful God. He's faithful. Here we say again, over and over and over. What is God faithful to? To himself, to what he is. He can't be anything else than what he is. What else is he faithful to? His word. Right, Fabio? What else is he faithful to? His children. Isn't that a beautiful God? Okay. So here we lay for refuge. We have to take our assurance. We have to go with that into the holy place of God within the veil. Why? You take that promise into God where he is and nothing's in there but you and him. And he will never say, aha, I was fooling. He will say, I'm here to fulfill it. He will, you are away from the elements of this dimension. You are into a holy light, into the Shekinah glory. That Shekinah glory is a supernatural light. It's shining down on the word of God and says, I'm here, interposing. I'm here for you. Here is the promise. Take that promise and go where there's nothing but God. No doubts, no fears, nothing of the human element. Nothing from a human element, from anybody else. Nothing's in there but you and God. This is why we have to take it somewhere. This is why we have to flee for refuge behind the veil. There's nothing there but perfect affirmation. Because what is there speaks of God. Number one, the angels speak of his holiness. Then we look at the ark. What's that speak of? Huh? Mercy. What else does it speak of? Manna, provision. I'm going to be there. And Aaron's rod, here is life. You think you're dead, but in my presence you come to life. Oh, Ron, Mary, us old folks, Lenore, Marianne. You think you're dead, but in the presence of God you sprout to life where it's impossible. Absolutely impossible. What was that rod attached to? Did somebody plant it? Was there dirt there? Was there water there? There was nothing there but the presence of God. Oh, I hope this is making sense to you now. This is why this chapter in Hebrews is so beautiful and so powerful. And this is where we are at, as we've been saying. This is a critical juncture of time. Take the promise of God. Leave this world. Leave the effects of this world. You leave the human element. Leave this dimension that is full of lies and take it. Not into the holy place, into the most holy place. Where God says, no doubts, no fears, just me and you. Third pull, right? Secret place. Oh man, I love this. This is exciting to me. There's no other presence there than God, who is the promise keeper, the promise giver, I mean. He's also the promise keeper, the God, the interposer, God, the confirmer. There's nothing in there that can alter his words. There's nothing in there that can cause doubt. There's nothing in there that can cause fear. There's no lies of this earthly dimension. Last verse. Where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest. We take the promise. We believe the promise. We embrace the promise. Our souls say amen to what God said, and we take it to the only place our soul can take it, into the presence of God, where our soul and Him are one, where His word to us and His word in us is welded together and becomes one. In the presence of God, Christian, His promise to you and His promise in you become one thing. Right? His promise to you and His promise in you become one. One thing. And Jesus, God in the form of Savior and Redeemer, is there to do it. He interposes Himself between us and the promise to do it and makes it all one in Him for His glory. Oh, I hope you got this. Hebrews chapter 6, what a glorious chapter. How many times going through Hebrews, we're at a critical juncture of time where we have to leave the bondwoman and cast it out. We have to say goodbye to all religiosity that's in us, that likes rules and regulations and is bound by fears and always looking out the corner of their eye at everybody else and judging them. It's you and God. And God says, leave. These things you must leave. If you want to go to maturity, you can't go to maturity and hold these things. You have to go to maturity and can't carry those things with us. So somehow we got to leave even faith of God. That's elementary. Mm-hmm. Baptisms, elementary. Right? Judgment, elementary. Nope, go on. Well, Russ, how much farther is you, God of this earth, than talking about, oh, we got to have faith? How much farther is that, brother? Huh? Right, Pete? How much farther is that? Let's go on to being God of this earth. Okay, musicians, would you come? We'll continue next week. Oh, there's so many things here. I've been into Future Home, and it's just, okay, we're called here, we're driven there, we got to take our sacrifice somewhere. Did we ever do that? All these things of leaving and going and taking, and we are called here to do this, and critical juncture of time. David, I feel something in our heart is pulling us somewhere. Do you believe that? Can you feel it, Laura? There's something going on, isn't there? And I think He's taken us to this place at this time for us because, hey, son, I'm here to do this for you. Go with me. Right? Quite a journey, isn't it? Oh, my goodness, if the rapture's this close, I think. You ever wonder what the rapture is? That's another thing. We won't even get started that. Yeah. Hold back. Yeah. Brother Branham told them all. Just look at the first few pages of the rapture message. Do you know what he's told them? You have it all wrong. And you know, what did those Pentecostals have that's different than what we have concerning the rapture? You see? We have to start listening to what he said. Yeah. We have to believe, have rapture in faith. But we believe, I love this. Didn't he said rapturing grace would be there for us? Listen, you have to flee for refuge from this realm to the presence of God where there's no other voices but Him. If you don't, Marianne, those other voices will kill you. They'll rob you of your faith. Those other voices will. This voices of this dimension. Flee for refuge with a promise into the presence of the Most Holy God, where there's no other voices but His. Okay. Hebrews 6, love it. Okay. You guys are going to come up with a song because I can't think of any. There you go, Jehovah Jireh. And you, well, I think we got a number. Eliana, bless your heart. Thank you for helping with that. And all the others who help with it, thank you all. No, I just need one for me. Okay, there we go. I can read it. Would you stand with me, please? Don't you love Him? Is He to you, honestly? Hi, Seth. Zoe, to you. Doesn't make any difference for age, right? He's your Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. He's your healer. He's everything you have need of. Okay. And that's what we hear behind the veil. I'm here for you and I'm everything for you. And I'm everything you need, right? Okay.
Again, you're more than enough.
raise your hands, just lift him up, would you? You're more than enough. You're more than enough. Much more. More than enough. Take his promise. That place where there's nothing there but him and his word and you there with him. Amen. Nate, would you close, please?
Lord, we thank you for you're such a strong consolation, Lord, that you would interpose yourself.
Thank you, Lord.
And guarantee.
Yes.
In a way that no one else could.
Yes.
That you will take us all the way to the end.
Thank you, Lord.
And our hearts, Lord, they just leap for joy because it's what we've been longing to know. All the time that we were spending trying to do things in our own efforts and constantly failing, Lord, we just, there was something inside of us saying, there's got to be a way. And you made that way. And so we just say, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. Help us to submit ourselves, not to keep struggling and fighting so much, but just to rest, and to relax and let you have your way. We just ask it in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Sing one more song, be it unto me. Amen. Be Genesis 28. Take your Bibles and we're going to read that together to go home on. Take it home. Read it every day. This is God to you. This is God to the promise holder. Let's read that glorious verse 28. Genesis 28, verse 15. We'll read it together, then you're dismissed. Okay. Everybody there? Okay. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither you go and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. There you go. God bless. bless you.